Happy New Year to all of you. I'm glad that you're here on this first Sunday in 2018. I would ask for a show of hands of who made it to brave out the cold last week, but I know that many of you did not. But I'm thankful that you're here today. And those of you who did brave the cold, I'm glad that you were here. And if you haven't listened to Pastor Eric's message on the prodigal son, I encourage you to listen to that. You can get that on our website, and I encourage you to listen to that. How do we view prodigals is one of the questions. And so it's a great question of discovery. And if you missed out on the children's sermon last week, I'll just say you missed out on the children's sermons last week because there were a bunch of things that happened up on the platform with pig noses and on and on. You could ask maybe Pastor Eric about that if you'd like. I do want you to know where we're going as a church when it comes to messages in 2018 and actually beyond. Many of you know that we've been, if you will, stuck in Hebrews or enjoying Hebrews, if you want to say it that way. I'd like to say it that way, for quite some time. And so for the first couple of weeks here, I'm going to talk about the threefold mission of our church, which would be to sense God's presence, be a church of prayer, and have an outreach into the community. Then I'm going to go into talking about stewardship a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about some basics about salvation and discipleship. Then I'm going to talk about the hope and the hope that we have in the resurrection, which, just so you know, Easter is on April 1 this year. No fooling. It really is. It's on April 1st. And then following April 1st, we're going to go into the Gospel of John. And I think I've mentioned this to you. There's like 99 sermons that I've come up with, kind of in a little diagram, that we're going to be in the Gospel of John, and we're going to take off some time for Christmas. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of John for quite some time starting in April. So if you want to read through John, what a powerful, powerful book. And it's going to enlighten and encourage us. So in these next 3 weeks, I want to talk about being a church that senses God's presence, a church of prayer, and a church of being an outreach into the community. Today, I want to talk about the church that senses God's presence. Now, you may say, don't all churches want that? And I beg to differ. I choose to believe that some churches are in our midst who come and they say, well, man, you should go to that church. They've got some really good food. Now, I think we have good food here, and that's a good part of the church, too. Amen? However, that's not why we come. We come to sense God's presence. Well, they have a great nursery. Wonderful. That's a wonderful thing that we have, great nursery. Man, you should see their parking lot. They even have people out in their parking lot directing people. A wonderful thing. That's not a bad thing. But if you come to have somebody give you a parking spot or have somebody give you a valet parking, then you're missing the spot. Now, those things are good, and they're not bad. Please help, please understand. Oh, the music is great. And I hope you enjoyed the music today. And that's good, too. But if we come and we have lights out music, and we do not sense God's presence, we miss it. And so we desire to be a church that senses God's presence. Now, I know there are some of you in this room that you have feelings that go all over all the time, and you feel, oh, and you go all over, and so you long for this. Some of you are pretty much, you feel about as much as a rock does. That's okay. I understand where we each are. Well, not all, understand all the way, but I want this message and part of our mission to be about knowing God is here and sensing Him. Now, this can come in a variety of ways. I hope that you have sensed God's presence already here. Some of you, though, I believe this to be true. Some of you have longed for God's presence, and you haven't sensed it in a really long time. Some of you, when you got up this morning, you sensed God's presence in your quiet time, and you're saying, wow, why do I need to go to a church and sense God's presence? I want to talk about that this morning. I believe that we were made to sense God's presence, and when we worship and then we live in God's presence, there is something different about the way in which we live. And I just ask for you to open your heart to living in God's presence and being here to sense His presence on Sundays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Saturdays, whenever you come to this church. I'm going to be speaking from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Here this morning. Before I read this, I want you to know that the apostles have witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and so then here they're coming ready for the ascension. And so this is what it says here in verse 6. So when they had come together, this is the disciples, they asked him, that being Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Let me give you a stopping point here for just a moment. Isn't it interesting? We're still talking about Israel in 2018. Kind of an interesting deal here. But then this is what Jesus said. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Again, I'm not going to speak on this verse per se today, but I want you to know this. God oversees everything, and so it's not our understanding at all times to know what God's authority is, but I believe his authority is in the next verse. And here's what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So here we go. You will receive power. Some of you, maybe you remember the power team. Do you remember the power team? They had these baseball bats, and they'd come in, and they'd break it off their knee. They'd get phone books, and they would, these were big guys, by the way, kind of my size. No, they were much bigger than me. They were big guys, and they came in, and they would rip phone books up, and then they'd get the cinder blocks, and they would break through the cinder blocks, and that, it was quite, did anybody ever go to a power team little thing? Yeah, okay, some of you remember that. Wow, they could do awesome things, but this is not the power that I'm talking about. Power in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is something greater than just brute strength. Brute strength can be very good at times, but we need something more powerful than just brute strength. Why? Because we need heavenly power, because we need spiritual power, because we need the Holy Spirit's power, because we need transcendent power, we need sacred power, we need divine power. The forces that are against us, and they are against us. As you walk out of this building today, let me tell you, there are forces against you. They're like, throw away what has been said, what's been discussed, and you come back to the world. And God says, I want to go with you. And so this is why you come on a Sunday morning, to be lifted up, to receive and sense God's presence, and to be shot back into the world and say, I can do this through God's power. It's neat to see in the scripture where God's power would come on people and what they would do. Samson. If you ever read about Samson and the things that he did when the Spirit of God came upon him, it was impressive. Isaiah, here Isaiah, I'm going to go over to Isaiah 61 right now. And this is what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And it goes on, of course. But the Spirit of God is upon you. The Spirit of God is upon me. Jesus, in his early ministry, was led to the desert. There he was tempted. And in Luke 4:14, it states, and Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. The apostles were given this power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There is something different when the power of the Holy Spirit is in something. And I fear that we have gotten away, or we get away from the Holy Spirit's power, and we miss the true power in our lives. Do we miss it in our services? I trust not. His power is available to us. Do we plan services without seeking the presence of God? I don't feel the staff does. Do you pray as you come on Sundays? Oh God, would there just be something that would just enlighten me today, convict me today? I want this power for myself. I want this power for you. I want this power for us. I want, when people come in the doors, when people drive in the property, I want you, I want everyone to say, there's something different about this place. And they just feel it, and they just sense us. The Holy Spirit's power does this. You're sitting there in the chair, and all of a sudden, God's power grips you. You've had that before. I trust that you've had that before. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen in this room. because not of something that I say, not because of something that's set up here or something that's there, but it's just God's presence, and he uses individuals, he uses songs to get to you. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the minister's face or who's ever speaking up front just lights up, and there's something about it, and you just zero in. You're like, I got it. And you sense God's presence. We're singing a song, and there's words up on a screen, and all of a sudden, these words just like get huge. And you're like, why is that grace word just got huge all of a sudden? Sometimes that happens because we sense God's presence. Sometimes it's when you're bowing your head in pastoral prayer and the person who is praying says something. You're like, how did they know that that was what I needed today? Because it's God's presence. There's a story that is told by Herbert Jackson. He was a missionary and he was assigned a car that would not start without a push. He thought of it and he needed the car, so he devised a plan. He went to a school that was near his home. He got some kids out of class, and he had them help push his car, and thus he got his car started. Now, those of you who are younger in the room don't understand the whole automatic transmission versus popping the clutch, all right? Some of you that are old in the room understand the whole popping of the clutch and how you can get your car started that way. That's a little part of the story that you might have to have a discussion with your kids on, because, well, how can they just push the car? How does that work? That was one of those cars. Herbert, whenever he would go anywhere, would be smart, because he would park it on a hill or he would keep the engine running so he could get a little speed. After 2 years, ill health caused his family to leave this mission experience, and a new missionary came to work there. Jackson told of his troubles with the car, and very proudly, he's like, you know, I have trouble with this car, but if you park it on the hill, or if you just leave it running, then you're good to go. And the new missionary said, well, let's look under the hood. So the new missionary looked under the hood, and he says this, why, Dr. Jackson, I believe it just might be a loose cable. And so here's what he did. He twisted the cable a little bit, and guess what happened? The vehicle started right up. Zoom. So Dr. Jackson was thinking it was pretty good because he was leaving his car on a hill, or he was leaving it running, and all it took was something minor underneath the hood, and he didn't know it. Here's what I think happens sometimes. Sometimes we miss out on a connection with the Lord. And that's why we come on a Sunday, because we get twisted a little bit. And somebody looks under the hood and says, hey, how about this? And you say, ah. Sadly, here's what happens to you and I at times. We miss church because of whatever reason, or we miss our alone time with God, or we stay away from church. And then for 2 years, we go about our lives without how we really can be living. And that's why we come to church, to sense God's presence, to have our wires redone, to have them twisted. Are you connected to the power of the Holy Spirit? I would hate for you to be in a place like Jacob was in Genesis chapter 28, and he said these words, surely the presence of the Lord was here, and I was unaware of it. I would hate for you to be in that place. And you may say, well, Pastor Steve, I sense the presence of God so much in my alone time at my house. And I say, wonderful. Excuse me, wonderful. Every one of us should. But there's something about when a group gets together and you sing praises unto the Lord and you sing a song that many of you identify and sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's the scripture, but we sang the song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's something about being in the presence of others. What could be some faulty wires? Maybe reading the wrong devotional. Hear me in this. There's some not good devotionals out. There's some devotionals that you shouldn't read. Well, they say it's a devotional. It's good. You should look at it. Look at it through critical eye and say, is this good for me? Is this uplifting? Is this right theologically? Maybe talking instead of listening would be a faulty wire. Maybe not reading the Bible at all. Now, I'm assuming everybody here reads the Bible every day. Okay, let me go back. I want you to read the Bible every day. Everybody here, no matter how old you are, how young you are, you should have a time where you read the Bible. Why? Because that's where God is at. He's saying, come and I'm ready to give it to you. Read the Bible every day. If you're not reading the Bible every day, I encourage you to start in Matthew chapter 1 and read through the New Testament this coming year of 2018. You'll be able to do it. Read one chapter a day and you will get through the whole New Testament. Maybe a faulty attitude has you disconnected from the power. Maybe waiting for an experience has left you dry. Have you ever been there? Oh, I just wish that God would come through the clouds. And I've talked about this before. He'd just ride in the clouds and there I'd be, wow. God's presence can work that way, but God's presence doesn't always work that way. Sometimes he works in the nuts and the bolts, and he just says, do this. Some of you understand that, and some of you like that better. Some of you are more feeling or operate. Oh, would you just, I just want to feel this. And some of you are like, just tell me. We try and live a wireless lifestyle. But let's go back to recharging in the Word of God, in prayer and in corporate worship. Don't stay gone for long or your batteries will be drained and you will not be living with God's power and you will know it. It may take a while, but you will figure it out. Why am I so down? Why am I so drained? Why am I so negative? Why am I so whatever? Don't let it. Your alone time is valuable, but receiving power communicated from God's word is enlightening. You will receive power is what Jesus says. You will receive power. Do you want this power? Do you need this power? Each of us need this power every day and week. And there's something when the saints are gathered together that blessings just come. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. This is rich. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. We just got through the Christmas season and the busyness of that. We celebrated the birth of Jesus and his name was given Emmanuel, God with us. But now when Jesus went back to heaven, he says this, I died, I resurrected, I'm going back to heaven, and now the Holy Spirit is for you. Now, I don't think it was just for the disciples, and we're like, we can't receive this power from the Holy Spirit. No, I believe it's for each of us. We can receive power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you've got to separate spirits from the Holy Spirit. And please just don't buy into the shack idea of what the Holy Spirit is. If you watched The Shack or read the book, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not that. It might be some of that, but it is more than that. His Spirit is more than that. The Holy Spirit first came in a great force at Pentecost. You could read this in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What a moment! That would be one of those, God's here. I believe they talked about it for years. I wonder if we identify when the Spirit comes. Nowadays, we try to have it happen with lights, sound, sometimes even fog machines, powerful amps, maybe a little rumbling. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work through those things, trust me. But God's Spirit isn't limited to technology. His Spirit can be profound. Musicians are good. But why do we go to a concert to go? We go to a concert. You ever been to a concert in recent days? I mean, you pay 18, 20, 50 bucks, whatever it is, to feel that euphoric feeling. Oh, and we come into God's presence to know that his presence is here. When was the last time you sat in a service and you felt riveted by God's Spirit? I mean, when you were overcome with emotion that you were just speechless. Maybe tears came. Maybe you couldn't say anything at all. Maybe you just knew the day was for you. Come expecting every Sunday for God's presence to be here for you and for me. There's a man by the name of Donnie Martin. He tells this story. He says, I remember going to Milldale Bible Conference almost every summer during my teen years. I saw many demonstrations of God's presence and power there. God's presence was especially strong during the services one night. A young man was asked to come and sing. As he sang his first note, the whole congregation as one began to weep. Some cried tears of joy, others cried tears of repentance. The sense of God's presence was so keen that at times one almost felt afraid to breathe for fear of disturbing what God was doing. In actuality, the atmosphere in that place that night defies description. It has left an indelible mark upon my life. Some of you will hearken back to an old day of revival in a Bible camp somewhere. Why can't we have that now? And that's what we pray for, is that God's presence will be here each and every Sunday. And when you come, you won't even want to think about going to sleep. We pray for God's presence in our services. Are you praying for that with us? Please do. We pray that every time somebody walks in the door, they will just... there's something different. There's something different here. I want to show you a quick clip of a movie called The War Room. It's a clip of where a lady would spend time in prayer in a prayer closet. She goes to sell her house. And when she's going to sell her house, this couple will come into this room and watch and see what happens.
I just love these old houses. They have so much character.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well, the master bath was updated recently, but she kept the original tub, and all the tiles are brand new. And you know, I think this is best of all. The floor is original hardwoods.
I love hardwood floors.
And you know what I found? The neighborhood is so great because it's established and quiet. You know, it seems mature. How long have you guys been in ministry?
Charles pastored the same church for 35 years.
Wow.
But, you know, we loved it, but we knew it was time for a change, and we want to be near our kids and grandkids to help mentor them. Charles, what are you doing?
Someone's been praying in this closet.
That's right. That was her prayer closet. How did you know that?
It's almost like it's baked in. Ma'am, we'll take the house.
That's what I desire of God's presence here, that it's almost baked in. This property was established when God's creative hand built this property. There were probably some individuals that came over this property in the years past, long time before people came and settled in Rapid City. However, this property is God's property. This property is where a church is at. And I want us to sense God's presence. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When God's Spirit moves on you, it's a powerful experience. His Spirit is not just offered to the great Billy Graham or some other religious leader, but His Spirit is for you. Do you want God's presence? Do you want His Spirit? How do you get His Spirit in your life? The Bible says that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, His Spirit comes into you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. May God's presence be thick each time we meet. May each of our lives be transformed, renewed, and different after being at what we call church. May you know God and the power of His Holy Spirit as He comes on us. May your wires be reconnected with God each Sunday. And may you go from this place being rejuvenated and empowered because you have been in His presence with others. Stand with me, please. Lord Jesus, I pray for each individual that's in this room on this day. We desire each and every week to sense your presence. We want your presence in this place, such as like what we just saw in this clip, that it's just baked in. And when people walk in, they're just like, wow, there's something here that only comes through us asking and you residing here. And Lord, would you just grant us that? And so when the individual who comes in, not wanting to come in, as they come in, they would just feel overwhelmed with your love and just say, I feel at peace here. When the godly saint walks in, may they just know that there is a refuge right here. And may each time we meet, Heavenly Father, be one where we sense your presence. So then as we go from this place, we will know that your presence, as your word said, where can we go from your presence? We can't. We can't get away from it. But I pray that as we understand your presence and we understand the body of believers coming together, we would sense your presence here. And then we would go back out being rejuvenated and encouraged and uplifted and enlightened. So Lord Jesus, I pray that each person here today will have sensed your presence. And because of that, they will walk in your presence this whole week. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you being the God who wants to be involved in each of our lives. May you go before us. May we be ever mindful to think of you. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.